When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Tuesday morning. This is a bit of a different day during football season. Boomer is out in Ohio somewhere. It has to be, as Al was saying, a paid speaking engagement for him. So he will be back tomorrow. So that means that Jerry is here this morning. What's up, Jerry?
Gee, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing okay. I'm a little bit, you know me, I'm a routine guy.
Yes.
And if my routine gets thrown off a little bit, I get anxious a bit. So not only is Boomer not here, which is thrown off the routine, but also I had to drive my mother-in-law in from Sayville to the radio station. And she's here right now in the control room because she's having a procedure later today in Brooklyn. Mm. And it just made sense because it's only like 25 minutes, a half hour away from here, the hospital. And why don't you just get up and jump in the car with me? And then we'll ride in together, and then you can hang out with Eddie and Al in the control room for a little bit, and then we'll send you on your way.
That sounds nice.
Yes, it sounds nice. So I was thinking that she would talk more than she did in the car, so it was pretty good, actually. It wasn't bad, so I commend her.
All right.
Yeah.
So you actually had company, and it was nice and quiet.
Yeah, but I see, you know the drive-in. I love the drive-in, actually. People say, how do you do this? I'm like, well, the drive-in is great. It's only the drive home that stinks. Like, the drive-in, it's quiet. You get to think about things. You think about the show. I throw on the overnight show. I listen to the crazy callers, piss off wherever the host is. Like, it's just, it's nice.
And as you've seen going down to Colts Neck a few times, for us, it's very nice going home to Jersey in the afternoon, too. So we get it both ways.
Yeah.
I know you get it on the way in. But yes, I agree with you. You decompress. You can turn the radio off, listen to it, do whatever you want. I agree with you.
So I was a little worried about that. But she was good today. I commend her for her reading the room and the situation. And knowing
she made up for it, though.
What's that?
She made up for it.
Oh, how?
What does that mean?
During the warm-up show.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
Oh, she was talking Eddie Zero off. Yeah. So I told her about this, and it's got two dogs. And
uh-huh. Well, it's got to be a very exciting day for her, though, to watch the show live. It's great.
Yeah, no, it is. And Eddie loves Louise. Eddie is a fan.
Yep.
So that's what we have going on here this morning, Jerry. So it's good to have you. And it's good to see you. Mm. And I am now going to get back into my normal routine because that's what I need to do. I need to focus on that.
I actually thought you were going to go the Maggie and Perloff route today because they were loud.
Yeah, they were. I don't know what's going on back there.
I walked back to see Allie. Like, it is like a party back here.
Yeah.
And then I saw you in your office. You look like he wanted to put your head in your hands and just shut up.
I don't know what was going on with them. Generally, they're pretty quiet.
Yeah, not today.
Yeah, I don't know if not they're with. I mean, they doing some sort of drinking challenge or something? Like, did someone lose a bet and now they have to be drunk and high on the air or something?
I don't know, but they were going over show stuff.
Oh, yeah, they love that show stuff.
A lot of show stuff.
They love that show stuff. They do the whiteboard and everything. They break it down.
Yeah.
Perloff actually calls Maggie on his drive-in, and then she's got him on speakerphone.
Like you and Boom.
Yeah, right.
Don't see each other till 6 o'clock. Oh, you showed up today, sir. Good morning.
Hey, good to see you. Yeah, what will I be listening you talk about today?
That was one of the things that Spike said when he worked here, that he could not believe the non-communication of the morning show and then how we would have it figured out by air.
You know what I feel? I look at us, and it's been like this since the beginning. I look at us like a baseball team.
Yeah.
We each have our individual jobs, and when we do them well, it works.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
When we don't, it sucks.
Right, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, actually, the first show that first couple of shows I did with Boomer, he told me he did not want to talk about the show before the show. Like, I don't want to do that. You just do what you do and then go for it. And then I learned throughout the years that no matter what I said,
it didn't matter because he was going to talk about what was in his head.
Yes.
He so does like do that. Like, this is what I'd explain to people is like, I would just go over whatever the top, I would just mention whatever the top stories were and whatever thing out of that he wanted to talk about, he would go and talk about, and we go from there. And then the rest of the editorial decisions from how we start segments would generally be mine, unless he'd lean over and go, I got something for you. You know how many Samoans play defensive tackle for the Washington Commanders? Three.
Been there.
Three. So then I'd be like, oh, that's great. Now let me go into something that people care about.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works. But then that same thing carries over with you and I, unless it was a totally dead day, like nothing going on at all. And then I'd be like, what do you think of this off the board type of situation? So there is no off the board situation today. I did want to mention this Adam Schefter interview with Pat McAfee. I don't know if you were happy to see this yesterday. So Pat McAfee's talking to Schefter about the game in Germany and two bad teams and going down the tubes. And it seemed like the Carolina Panthers in a miserable season were having a good time. Like David Tepper was out there drinking beers and Bryce Young played well. And they had a special moment in a crappy season. And here were the Giants, the complete opposite of that. And their owner is not drinking beers. He's not having a good time. It's another one of these miserable seasons that are going down the tubes. And he said, so what's going on with Brian Daboll and Joe Shane? And Adam Schefter said, well, we'll go back to what John Mara said a couple weeks ago about how they're safe and he doesn't anticipate making a change. But he said the same thing about Joe Judge. He said the same thing about Ben McAdoo. And then several weeks later, they were gone. But I think this is different.
I
really do believe this is different. I know people say that I'm crazy when I say this because it's following the same trajectory as these other guys, but not to the point of where it feels like the team doesn't respect the coach. And if it gets there in the next couple of weeks, then yeah, everything's on the table. But it's certainly not there right now.
To me, the only way the change is made, in my opinion, is if they get blown out the rest of the way every week and they look like there's no compete level coming from anybody on the field. I haven't seen that. Have they been good? No. I mean, we were at that Eagle. We saw it up close and personal. If you want to tell me they died in the second half, all right, I might buy that one for sure. But I thought they came out. They were ready to play. I thought the game plan was right. They didn't execute on offense. Defensively, I thought they were very good to start that game. This weekend, they don't score. They do things well defensively, although I didn't think it was great this weekend. They did get run on a little bit, and Bryce Young, and not that they were good, but they certainly look better than I expected them to look, meaning the Panthers. I believe this is different, too, for a variety of reasons. I don't feel like at any point that Brian Daboll's been overmatched. I think we could say that with some of the past coaches. I don't feel like Brian Daboll's been disrespectful to the media, which I think we can say that with Pat Shurmur. There were signs with some of these other coaches. Ben McAdoo fell apart at the end when he looked like he had a pretty good handle on the job. The other part I have trouble thinking they would fire him would be for this reason. You're going to tell me you're going to bring in Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, and you're never going to give Daboll an opportunity with a quarterback that he wants. I'm not saying he didn't make it work year one with Daniel Jones, because he did play relatively well. The contract, to me, I thought stupid at the time, but whatever. He played well, went to the playoffs, and things fell apart last year with the injury. This year's been a mess. I cannot believe they would let these guys go without giving them an opportunity at their own quarterback.
Yeah, which puts them in a tough situation because now they feel like they have to draft a quarterback in this draft if they're put in the first couple of picks, which they probably would, or they land in the first couple of picks. So, you know, there was a similar situation in Minnesota this past year where the general manager had to draft a quarterback because of the way that he went about his business and the salary cap and paying Justin Jefferson. It was like, the only way we can make this work is if we draft a young quarterback. Mm-hmm. We got to get one. There's no two ways about it. And he missed out on the draft the year before. Apparently, he loved Anthony Richardson, and he didn't end up getting him, which I guess is a good thing. But then he had to draft a guy. So they ended up getting J.J. McCarthy. And I don't even know how much they love J.J. McCarthy. They just had to pick him because there was no one else left at that point. So the reason I bring that up is because I think the Giants might be in that same situation. It's like, okay, They love Jaden Daniels. They like Drake May. They couldn't get those two guys. So now they're going to be in a draft where they have to get a young quarterback because their jobs are dependent on that. Joe Shane picking the right guy. Brian Daboll nurturing that guy into a Pro Bowl quarterback. What if they're outside looking in again like they were last year? What if they're not up there? It's so hard to build these teams. And if you want to point to one thing that has held the Giants back all these years, and you can go, you know, chicken or the egg situation, whatever, John Mara hiring Gettleman, hiring Joe Shane, it's the drafts, man. Just look at the drafts. I mean, there are two picks that completely screwed over the Gettleman tenure, which was Daniel Jones, obviously, was the worst one, and then taking Saquon Barkley number two. And then you look at some, and I like Joe Shane, I really do, and I would not fire him at the end of this year, but you look at, there are a lot of big misses from Joe Shane. Huge. I mean, go back to 2022. Obviously, Evan Neal, Kayvon Thibodeau, Wandale Robinson's been an okay player for them, and Josh Azudu. Those are their first four picks in that draft. Whoa. All right, then you got number one overall pick in 2023, Deontay Banks.
Ugh. Not good.
John Michael Smits, who was a rookie last year. I guess he's done a little bit better this year, but he was ranked like the worst center in the league by every one of the analytics people last year. And Jalen Hyatt's in that draft. Doesn't do much for them. And then, you know, this past year, you got Neighbors, who you like, and then, you know, you got some, like Tyrone Tracy was in this draft, too, who looks like he's okay. But
looks like a stud.
Why are the Giants so bad? Terrible draft picks. That's what it is.
It's a big part of it. And I want to go back to one thing you said, too, about, you know, the Vikings and Anthony Richardson, and that's who they wanted. And your comment right there, right after it was, maybe it was good that they didn't get him. It goes back to the inexact science of the draft.
Yeah.
My point is, whether they reach for someone, have to sign someone in free agency and draft someone that's going to be a project, I don't know what the answer is, but here's what I do know. I would not let them go until I see them try it with their guy. Whether that is a free agent, we went over the list yesterday. It's not great. I totally understand. Or whether it's a reach or someone they do identify in the draft that they like. I got to give them that chance because I really do believe these guys know what they're doing. I know it sounds crazy because they haven't been good. The record stinks. But I also see, I told you, you guys know I did the game with Brian Baldinger the other day. Yeah. And I don't want to speak out of turn because these were not on-air conversations, but I think these are things he has said too. And we were watching that game in London. They had it on the big board in Tampa. And that flea flicker play, he just shook his head. And he goes, he just doesn't release the ball. Like, he's athletically, he does a lot of really good things. My point is, it's worked at times with Daniel Jones, and at other times it doesn't. And this play right here almost epitomizes what his career has been.
Yeah, the flea flicker, yep.
It's just, let it go. I mean, and he hasn't been able to do that. You tell me, is that the game plan? Is that the play call? Or is that the execution? Which is why I come back to saying, I think these are the right guys, and I got to give them that chance.
Yeah, I mean, I think Brian Daboll a little bit more so than maybe Joe Shane at this point, but you got to stick with them. You can't hire a new general manager and then have the coach stay because that GM's going to want his own guy. We've seen that happen many, many times. It's not the way to build an organization. But, I mean, if some of these guys worked out, I mean, this team would be right in the mix, like, and they just haven't. I mean, the fact that Evan Neal couldn't get on the field until week 10 this year, I mean, Kayvon Thibodeau's hurt again, and when he's out there, he seems to be an okay player. I mean, Deontay Banks has quit on multiple occasions during games.
Yeah, no, that's been probably
Neal one, his first round picks.
The Neal one to me is puzzling because I don't know that there's anybody out there that thought that was a bad pick at the time, given his college career.
Well, same thing with Kayvon Thibodeau, though.
That's right, who I'm not ready now. He hasn't played much this year because of injury, and I really do feel like him and Burns together, it's a shame that you haven't seen them every week because that might be, and it still can be, that might be a pretty good combination in terms of pass rush. So I'm not ready to quit on that yet. But the Evan Neal one to me is, you know, we always talk about drafting offensive linemen. The game is won on the line of scrimmage, whether it's creating pressure defensively or protecting the quarterback and run blocking. And I feel like whatever regime it's been, they've really tried to address that. The Neal one to me just doesn't make sense. The way some guys, and then other guys, you pick in the sixth round and they have 15-year careers.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
You know, it was funny. I ended up going to, I think it was a Gervonta Davis fight at Barclays Center right after that draft where
It was Kayvon Thibodeau, Evan Neal, and Sauce Gardner were all drafted that year. And those three guys, and I think Garrett Wilson was also drafted that same year. But anyway, so all three of those guys, not Garrett Wilson, were at the fight. And I remember, you know, Sauce Gardner and Kayvon Thibodeau, and I'm not blaming them, having the time of their lives, you know. They're up and they're taking pictures, they're laughing, they're having a great time. And Evan Neal was just like totally focused and sat down, like didn't have a drink, was just watching a fight. And I was like, man, that guy's going to be a beast. Like he really is focused on football. Ends up that he was the worst of them by 10 times.
So far, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, not that you could sit there and evaluate a football player by watching him watch a boxing match, but it's just like...
No, but you know. There's this, I can imagine a seriousness about a guy you think he's all business.
Yeah,
I could totally see what you were saying.
Yeah, and he came from Alabama, and I was like, man, this guy's going to be, you know, he's probably going to leave this fight and go to the gym, you know?
The one thing, like you say Alabama, the one thing that fascinates me when like going over these rosters and these teams, whether it's been the Bucs or the Niners or the Eagles, or any of these teams, how many of those guys and the big time players come out from programs like Alabama, like Michigan, the big schools? You sit there and say, how do they fail if they excel so well at the highest level of college football? And then you've got guys that come from Appalachian State and do it's just. Yeah, it's you go be a GM. Good luck.
It's really, really tough. And that is a good point, too. I mean, I don't think any of these picks that the Giants made. At first, like, anybody was really killing him. I mean, do you remember anybody, like, Malik Nabers' pick I liked? I thought if you weren't going to get a quarterback, you got to be able
to
get a playmaker. I mean, yeah. I didn't have any problem with selecting Deontay Banks when they selected Deontay Banks. All right, you need a young corner.
I do wonder, and I know this is revisionist history, and you can't do this. I totally understand, but I really do wonder where this season would have gone had they won that game in Washington. There was a different feel. There really was. Yeah. And then it has just tanked since that point.
Yeah, I also think there was like a, at least for the Giant fan, I don't know about the team, but like that, the only team you could beat in the division was them.
And you beat yourselves to lose to them.
Right. And they had the young, exciting quarterback that you haven't had. I mean, that was just, it felt like it was like a turning point. Like, okay, now we're the worst. You know, well, the Cowboys are giving them a run for their money, but there's injuries and everything else. But it's like, okay, now we're absolutely the stone worst.
Yeah.
It used to be them, and we were bad, but now we're the worst.
It's amazing how quick it happens, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you go from, you know, week three, okay, maybe, here we are, it's week 10, not week 18, and it just feels like end the season already.
Yeah, of course. I mean, and that's really the discussions that we're going to have. And it's going to come down to if John Mara can hold himself back and restrain himself from the idea of Bill Belichick coming in for like 4 years to try to put this team back on track, like sort of like a Bill Parcells with the Jets situation. I like to see how old Bill was at that point. He's definitely younger than Belichick is now.
Parcells, sure. Where?
With the Jets, like how much younger was he? Was he like 15 years younger?
I would say significantly younger, I would think.
20 years younger?
Because Parcells is what, 82 now, I would say?
Yeah.
Belichick, 72. Parcells was with the Cowboys in the early 2000s.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, true.
So he had to have been in his late 40s.
So he took over in, wow, that's it? So he took over in 97 with the Jets, and he's 83 now. You're okay. Great at math.
So 27 years minus 83. So he was, what, 46? 56?
56. Yeah, so that's a huge difference, man. I mean, Bill.
Yeah, 56 to 72. It's a big difference.
Huge difference.
Yes. Doesn't mean Belichick wouldn't be up for it. The only thing, you know, the thing about Belichick is without a quarterback, and you'd be coming here without a quarterback, it's almost, you feel like it's almost a total rebuild. Does he have it in him at 72 to want to go through what might be a terrible first season? I don't know.
Unless he believes in one of these quarterbacks and the Jets. Different. I mean, the Jets, the Giants end up drafting him, and he's like, you know what, this is the guy. Trust me, I know. But he felt that way about Mac Jones.
Mm. And where is he now?
Jacksonville, yeah.
It's presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry in for Boomer this morning. That's why we got CeeLo in here today. I know there's one huge CeeLo fan that sends me posts on X all day long. This
all
guy.
Day long?
Oh, it's
Come
every
on.
Single day.
No, it's not.
I swear
yeah,
to
it
you, it's every single
every
day.
Every day?
I every day when you're not here.
I've been here once since the end of August.
Might be the same guy that he messages me to quit every day.
Ha!
So that's because of the bottom.
It's all right.
Yeah.
He's not the first, won't be the last.
We all have them.
You right? know what? He did
Can't
not.
Can't please everyone.
This is crazy. He must not be up yet because he did not reach out today.
Oh, man. He's going to miss the first CeeLo update.
Yeah, or maybe he just hasn't posted and he's just sitting there with a big smile on his face. But yeah, I mean, when you're not here, he's like, man, what a great morning it is. The only thing that would make it better is if CeeLo were there. This guy's obsessed. Totally obsessed.
Well, that's nice. I appreciate that support.
He's your bonus boy.
Like
that's nice.
CeeLo.
He was so drunk.
Yes, yeah, he was.
And by the way, you can see Boomer that drunk again November 22nd, Friday night at the Paramount. Boomer and Geo Live. God. We give thanks. Go to, what is it, WFAN.com/live for tickets to see Boomer that drunk. We hope at least he gets that drunk.
2 weeks or next week? That's next week.
Next Thursday.
Wow. Next Friday.
Or no, next Friday.
Right, next Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on,
Al. We're good. We're good. Next Friday.
You, Thursday night? No. No shot.
Yeah. A very good point. All right, CeeLo, what's going on over there?
All right,
man?
Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. So you guys touched on Adam Schefter's comments to Pat McAfee about the Giants and John Mara and potential decision on Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. That, of course, is all TBD. But right now, it's about the quarterback and what's to become of Daniel Jones the rest of the way with the team at 2-8 heading off into the bye week. Daboll had remained committed to Jones every time he's been asked the question the day after a game. But yesterday, for the first time, as we might have expected, he did leave the door open.
We're going to spend a lot of time here watching our tape and evaluating things. And, we'll do that as a coaching staff over the next, week here.
And that was his answer to a direct question about Jones.
And it is important to say for people who haven't been paying attention, every time he's been asked that, and he's been asked it for the last 5 or 6 weeks, is Daniel a starter? Yes. Are you considering making a change? No. Totally definitive. So this is a big departure from that.
I wonder if he had some sort of directive or conversation. Hey, if we don't win this game, we are changing things, especially with the bye coming up.
For sure.
So maybe he knew. Yeah,
he did say they're going to look at the entire team. Of course, you can read between the lines there, though. He was then asked if he and Joe Shane would need to go to John Mara regarding a change at quarterback because of Jones' status and his contract as well.
Joe and I communicate with our ownership group on a daily basis, not just about the quarterback, but about every position. So there's good community there. We'll do what we normally do if there are any changes.
So we'll see what happens there when they come off the bye and get ready to play the Bucks. Do you think they would leapfrog Drew Lock and go right to Tommy DeVito? We were talking about that, Al and I, this morning.
No, I don't, because they paid him a lot of money.
Yeah.
And, I think then that's the only reason why, because I feel like it would make Joe Shane look more foolish if he skips to go to Tommy DeVito and John Mara, why did we bring in this what is he getting paid? $5 million?
$5 million
backup. If the backup is the guy that we already had here for essentially for free, what is the point of this? So that's why I think they'd at least try Drew Lock.
That's a good point. I like your line of thinking there. With the Jets, Jeff Ulbrich assessing the aftermath of another disaster, this time out in Arizona, and of course the focus on his defense.
We didn't cover well and we didn't tackle well, and that was a collective effort. Whenever you get beaten coverage, it's always an element of rush that goes into that, but it wasn't good enough, and an egregious criminal amount of missed tackles.
Which criminal amount?
He again took the blame. I know what he's doing, but he's like, I'm disappointed in myself. Didn't have the guys ready. Yet they're all saying the practice was great.
So, yeah, it's the thing to do. There's no winning in these situations.
Right.
If he had blamed anybody else, people would yell at him for not taking accountability. Aren't you the defensive coordinator? Aren't you the head coach? When you suck, there's nothing you can say that's going to make anybody happy. Mm-hmm. It's just the way that it is. It's a terrible situation.
And it's beyond sucking. It's the crazy underachieving that they've done.
Yeah. I mean, an embarrassing losses. Yep. I mean, the loss to the Patriots, embarrassing. The one to the Cardinals, embarrassing. It's the one to the Steelers, embarrassing.
Think about the wins, even. A bad Titans team.
Yeah, yeah.
Patriots short week Thursday night at home. Mm-hmm. And a Texans team that was all banged up missing their top receivers.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, it's just they're not any good. I mean, and that's really the point when people It's even said before this loss, but even we'll say now, like, man, you know, if they could run the table, the AFC, they're in the hunt. No, they're not. They can't beat anybody.
No, they'll be fine. They just need Hassan Reddick to sign. Oh, that's right.
That's right.
Well, if they get Devontae, him too. Okay, yeah. What's next?
Finally, all they have to do is fire the coach because he's an idiot.
Well, they did that too.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's next?
I mean, they tried everything.
You got guys chirping on social media, Sauce Gardner.
But that's league wide.
Quincy Williams hit one too, I think.
I didn't see that one.
Unless that was a fake. I thought I saw yesterday where he responded, you know, you guys don't realize this is just my job. Go find something else to do. Like, it's just.
That's going to endear yourself to the fans.
I understand the frustration. And look, I get it. I can't imagine the things that are being hurled their way. And that's why you don't look.
Yeah, I know.
You know, like, it just, there's nothing to be gained. Looking and then responding and getting in the mix with it. And I know Sauce's tweet deleted, 5 minutes later, responding to Samini.
Which is funny because the previous tweet that he had, he said he was getting off of the app because of all the negativity on there because of what people were saying about Breece Hall. And then the first time he comes back, it's negativity that he's seeing on there to respond.
It was like less than a month or 1 month. I don't know. I mean, I get they're frustrated. And then on the other side of it, you got Mike Williams going on Instagram flexing on Aaron Rodgers hashtag redline. Yes,
that is
good for
great.
Him. Exactly.
I've got to say, that is great.
Did you read anything into the snake emoji or is there... is that something else I'm missing, maybe?
I mean, it probably has to do with Aaron Rodgers. Right. I mean, the fact that he went publicly on multiple occasions to trash this guy, probably before he spoke to him about it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be snake-like behavior. No. Like
Mike Williams had a good career before he came here.
Yeah, I mean, he was hurt a lot, but when he played, he was good.
But he was productive, and I know he was hurt. That is true. But when he played, he was really good. And now he was basically being discarded like a piece of trash. Honestly.
Yeah. I mean, and he makes the biggest catch of the week. And
now, the only catch that day, Steelers. But still, it was a huge play.
Well, he wasn't even supposed to be in there. So they traded for him, and there was an injury, and he got in there. He ran the route. He got open. Russell Wilson finds him, but... It's amazing. I mean, this is like a totally when it rains, it pours situation for the Jets.
You mentioned the Titans win. So that was the game where Mike Williams made a couple of catches where I sat there and said, this is what it's going to look like. Like, they look like him and Rodgers, again, like, I think it was two plays, but it was like a back shoulder throw. He made a great catch down the sideline. I'm like, man, this is what football looks like as opposed to what we watch with the Giants.
Yeah.
And boy, it has not been that.
Not so much.
No.
Monday Night Football from SoFi Stadium. The Dolphins getting back into the win column.
Achane in the pistol formation. Tua takes a snap. Pulls it back out. Throws it. Touchdown. It's Tyreek Hill.
Yes, it was. Dolphins Tua! Radio in the third
Tua!
Quarter. Yeah.
Tua!
Tua was
someone
okay.
Want to guard him?
Oh, my God.
Jeez.
Yeah, he was open. Yeah. They scored on their first drive. They score there. And that was the final touchdown of the game. Field goal affair the rest of the way with Miami prevailing over the Rams 23-15 to improve to 3-6. So Hill was a questionable game time decision. Then he tells Lisa Salters from ESPN he's playing through a ligament tear in his wrist, which he claims was aggravated when he went through the arrest.
Mm.
Was that week one? Was that the season opener? I forget now.
I don't know. It was September. Yeah. I do not know
so
if it was the opener.
Dealing with that, and the numbers obviously haven't been as great as usual, especially when Tua was out, but they do get back into the win column there, and I guess technically in the mix in this weird
AFC in the mix. Never going to run the table. That's the whole thing now. Every team's going to run the table and stay in it.
I tried to watch a lot of this game last night. It was rough.
Yeah, I did not.
The Rams, I mean... I figured this set up nicely for them. Dolphins are struggling. You get Nakua back in there. You've got Cooper Kupp's obviously back and healthy. They're at home, and they just a lot of self-inflicted wounds for the Rams last night as they failed to win a fourth consecutive game. All right, let's get to Bears head coach Matt Eberflus. So first he does conference call with the media talking about how they are going to make some changes for their struggling offense. They've gone 23 straight possessions without a touchdown. Caleb Williams got sacked 9 times against the Patriots, but they weren't ready to reveal yet what those changes were going to be.
Okay.
Then he goes on this ESPN radio show in Chicago, which includes David Kaplan, I guess. And in the midst of that interview, I think this was the third time that they were having issues with his connection, and eventually he would drop off.
You know, we're looking at this week and this week only. We do have evidence on tape that we played good football during the course of this year. We got to pull those experiences.
Hello?
Coach?
Peter.
Coach, your cell phone's as bad as the offense right now.
That's Kaplan. He's fed up. He had had enough in a variety of ways, not just the technical difficulties, but the way the team's
playing.
He
scored 3 points the other day.
Yes, against the Patriots. Nine sacks. He's been sacked 38 times. And then Kaplan.
And you know, by the way, too, there's like a, there's a producer in that control room who was just slamming his fist down when that phone was going off.
Yes.
You're not kidding.
His name is Al Dukes. And that's pretty much the mode that Kaplan went into after that as they tried to get Eberflus back.
Come on, man. This is 2024. Can we get a freaking landline? What are we doing? Seriously. Get the man a phone that works, please.
We'll try to reestablish with Matt Eberflus momentarily. Here on the
I'm serious.
Cap and J Hood Morning Show.
Yeah, Cap, you're not wrong. Communication issues prevalent all season for the football team.
I mean, his phone line's as bad as Waldron's play calling. I mean, what are we doing?
Yeah, so they've had enough.
Well, in fairness, with the landline, not many people have them anymore.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the head coach. You
understand?
His office, he doesn't have.
I have
landline?
No idea what's in these offices. Come on, I do
now.
Not know.
They've got to have a phone. A lot of these, they have like some of these. The Jets, I know, used to use like a satellite phone almost when
that's
they
cool.
These hits.
Yeah, I mean, this is what you need to do. Cell phones are the way to go. Everybody calls on a cell phone in every situation.
Head coach?
Yeah, but just find a place that has service. Like, I don't use a landline ever in my life. But if I'm on an important phone call, I know to be in a place that has service.
Don't be in your car moving at 60 miles an hour.
Right, and there's a spot, like, there's been times when I've had to call in to a show or whatever it is where I know on the LIE there is a dead spot every single time. I will pull over, I will go to a parking lot or a gas station, finish the phone call because I know I've got service. So that's the thing. Like, forget about the landline. Just be in a place you know has service.
Is he not at the team facility?
I don't know where he is.
Monday
CeeLo,
after the game, he spoke to the phone media, but I mean, they got to be breaking down the film of this awful loss. Just get him in his office. Put him on Zoom or something.
That said, it was fitting with the way their season's gone.
Yes.
Perfect.
It made for a fun.
It was
moment.
The best thing that ever could have happened to that show because everybody's talking about it. There's nothing that Matt Eberflus was going to say.
No.
The guy's been on every week. We had no idea.
Talk about a dead man walking.
I mean, it was just stupid to keep him. I mean, we said that at the end of
the
year.
They changed all the other coaches, right?
Yeah.
Or a lot of them.
And including the offensive coordinator who's now under fire.
Yep.
So, yeah. Did you see speaking of the Bears, there was a play where I guess Caleb Williams either got sacked or knocked down. And they zoom in on him. He's laying on the ground, like frustrated. And then a guy comes to help him up, and they zoom out, and it's a member
other
of the
team.
Patriots.
Yeah. And I know I saw on social media, like the Bears guys are taking a beating for not being there for him.
Yeah, it's not going well. Let's get to the baseball here for a minute. I feel like we do this every offseason with the big fish, big ticket free agent.
Some cash.
Oh, yeah. So do you know?
We're going to make some cash.
What's ahead. Just do your story.
Well, but it's not fair. He doesn't know the rules.
Oh, okay.
We have a new moratorium.
In addition to Aaron Boone sound?
Yes.
Okay, what's that?
It's that we may not speak the name of the big fish free agent unless there is concrete news.
Okay.
Now,
all right.
I do know because it did make Al's show sheet today, which is interesting because he knows the rules in this thing. I don't think that this John Heyman report regarding that man is concrete news.
I agree.
Now, but I might have put it on the sheet too because it was a big article. That having been said, there's nothing in the article we didn't know.
Yes, and this just reminds me of, the Rays are involved. Because this is what these guys do. There's nothing going on.
But I do think what he said is valid because it was the same thing. They were trying for Ohtani last year, seriously. So But we all knew every time we've talked about where this guy could go, this was a team that we identified. So it's not really news.
Exactly.
I don't think.
The reason I actually was going to bring it up was to kind of poke fun at the fact that here we go already in said article. There's two mystery teams. He loves the mystery team.
It's the same thing. And like, I don't even know if I can blame these baseball writers because they're under pressure to put out articles, to have stuff that's going to gain traction on social media. And the baseball offseason drags on. There's not a lot of news. There's not a lot of anything. And they have the pressure to put it out there. But then all of us gobble it up and eat it up. And then none of it turns into anything. So that's why we decided that unless there's concrete news, we're not going to sit here and talk about it because there's just no point.
Why do you think it's so different than the NBA and the NFL? When free agency hits, guys within
36 hours, have deals in place. We know where they're going. It's an exciting few days. And then we kind of move on. This is like torture. Like, just make a decision. Instead, we're going to go on this guy. Like, the Yankees are going to go meet. Why?
Yeah.
Why do the Yankees have to spend time and money to go wine, dine, and 60-whatever him next week?
Okay.
Like, for real, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You just spent a year with them.
All right. So, let me just try to answer this question.
I think there's an easy answer, but go ahead.
Oh, let me hear it.
No cap.
But they're
no,
the luxury. The luxury tax and this competitive balance tax is a huge deal for a lot of these teams.
Yeah, but I do think that the other leagues, they know going in what the constrictions are or what the restrictions are and what sort of landscape they have to operate in. I don't know.
Well, don't the baseball teams, though, with the thresholds? Like, I mean.
But that doesn't answer me why he's got to go be wined and dined by the Yankees.
No, I'm saying why this drags on. Why these guys, they're going to take their time. They're going to go and meet with so-and-so, and they're going to wait to see how the market establishes itself. I just think that there's a lot more wait and see with baseball than there is with the other sports.
Yeah, I guess. And it seems like the big fish have to be signed for everything else to happen.
Yeah.
We're in the NFL and the NBA. It doesn't seem that way. Like, there's a ton of action in the beginning. And, like, someone like Kevin Durant took all that time to have people come and meet with him. But still, that was only 3 days after free agency opened. I think he signed on July 1st when it was, I mean, July 4th when it was July 1st that it opened.
Wasn't LeBron like a doctor's office that one day? The Knicks at noon, the Lakers at 2. Right. I mean, he just sat there in his office he was the godfather.
Bang it out.
Come talk to me.
Yeah.
What are you giving me?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Oh, different. Very different.
It just drags on. It really does. So we'll see what happens. Awards finalists were announced. If you care, you do have Aaron Judge and Juan Soto for the AL MVP. You've got Francisco Lindor, the National League side. The Yankees do have two in the AL Rookie of the Year category with Luis Gil and Austin Wells, and Carlos Mendoza for NL Manager of the Year. So the locals certainly well represented there. Quickly on the basketball, Nets beat the Pelicans in New Orleans 107-105. Brooklyn with 7 in double figures, including all 5 starters, and well dispersed. Nobody above 20 points. Cam Thomas led the way with 7.
Noah Clowney.
What about him?
Keep going.
What is that?
He had a bunch of threes. He was really good last night.
I know. That's what I said. What about him? What do you want to say about him? So there you go. He had a bunch of threes.
He was a key. That's good. What I want to say.
Very good. Well, it sounds like they had a lot of guys.
They did.
As they really spread out the scoring there, which is great. So they've got the Celtics tomorrow, and then that weird scheduling quirk where they'll play consecutive games against the Knicks at the Garden Friday and Sunday. The Knicks are in action against the Sixers tonight. Rutgers beat St. Peter's at the Rack, 75-65. Dylan Harper, game-high, 24 points. All the hockey locals in action, including the Rangers, hosting the 14-1 Winnipeg Jets tonight at the Garden.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I sent Eddie Scazzeri down to get my mother-in-law into the Uber as she is going to the hospital for an eye procedure this morning that she found out she had to have yesterday. So doctors were very, very accommodating for her, so everything has worked out. But it was funny when Eddie was small talking with her on the way down to the Uber and said, well, what hospital are you going to? And she goes, I don't know.
Oh, God. She didn't know where she was going.
No. So we have her all taken care of.
Okay.
In the Uber, you go here. You don't have to do much. That's what we like to do. No margin for error.
Oh, man. Good thing you were in control of that one.
Yeah. And then Gina will go and pick her up a little bit later today.
All right.
And then hopefully everything's
good. What did she think of the 3 a.m. wake up?
She was she was up at 2 o'clock.
Oh.
Because she was anticipating all of this and I think maybe a little nervous.
Well, anxiety.
Right. So it was funny because when I woke up, she said, you know, I'm going to set the alarm, but just call me, make sure I'm up. So I wake up and I text her. I said, are you awake? And she goes, I'm outside already. 45 minutes before I told her to be there. I'm like, okay, see you in a little bit.
Well, at least she was ready.
Yeah. And it's funny. Both her and Gina do not sleep when there's something going on the next day that's big, like a vacation or a doctor's appointment or something. They just roll around and think about it all the time, and they're just completely crippled by their own thoughts.
See, I don't. My dad says he worked for whatever 30, 40 years, never used an alarm, and got up the same time every day and went to work. Now, I know it's different in that if we're late, the show's late.
Yeah.
So I understand that is different, but to never be late to work is interesting. And yet I feel like without an alarm, I'd be in trouble.
Yeah. I am now starting, though, over the last, like, 6 months on the weekends, my body wakes up when my alarm goes off.
It's shit.
Crazy. Like, I'm talking about when my alarm goes off during the week without an alarm.
See, I don't
like,
have that.
I am up and I look at the clock. I'm like, damn, this is like within 2 or 3 minutes of when my alarm would go off. I would never not have an alarm.
I know. Not Eddie. You're not going to have midnight on weekends. That's you too, though, right? Al, I mean, you.
Yeah. It's like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, Sunday. It sucks.
That does suck.
Now I can go right back to sleep. I don't know about you guys. I mean, I am just like, boom.
No, I need the alarm on the weekends.
Oh, really?
I set the alarm for 6:30.
Okay. Yeah, interesting. I could sleep. So Boomer and I are similar. So he talks about this now, especially with Sundays off. He could sleep till 9 a.m. every single day. Mm. And I could too. Like, just could sleep right through. Now I'll wake up and look at the clock, be like, but I'll roll over, go right back to sleep, and just keep going.
Mm.
Yeah, man.
Even with Elvis, Elvis doesn't get you up?
Well, you know, there's other people in the home to... On the weekends, I
help
sleep.
Out.
On the weekends, I sleep.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Everybody else can get up, and I am going to get my sleep on the weekends.
Cooper, if I don't respond right away, he will come up on the bed and knock my CPAP off my face.
Our cats are the same way.
Yeah.
They have the one thing on the weekends is because I get up at 2:40 every morning. So on the weekends, 2:40, if I don't get up, they're knocking stuff off the nightstand to get me up because I usually give them food at 3 a.m.
Oh, jeez.
So I will get up, I'll give them food, I'll go right back to bed. But and they're annoying. Like, they're knocking stuff off the nightstand.
Well, yeah, luckily, you know, Gene and the girls will get up around like 7:45. And if I want to sleep till 9, they let me sleep till 9.
You know what the killer is? When I'm not home, they sleep the night.
Come on.
Swear to God. You can ask my wife.
They just
want to
ruin your life, these cats.
We have a routine.
Yeah.
It's weird. Animals are weird.
Yeah, no. Well, they're smarter than you think.
Yes, they are.
Which is funny because, like, you know, you'll see a dog or a cat do something. You're like, man, that's really smart. But then, like, in the next moment, they'll eat their own puke. And you're like, why are you so stupid?
Or chasing their own tail.
Right. You know, I was like, well, wait a second. Weren't you the same dog?
Yeah, my dog yesterday projectile vomited, then laid down in it.
Oh, God.
Laid her head down. She went to sleep. I'm like, what are we doing?
Oh, that's awful. Boy, that's some life you've carved out for yourself with that dog.
I've never heard of that. I've seen dogs, like, eat poop. I've seen them eat their throw up. I've never seen a dog throw up and lay in it.
What I don't understand is, like, the dogs know not to urinate or poop in their bed. Like, if they're stuck in the house and have to go, they'll go somewhere else. She only vomits in her bed and then lays in it.
Oh, God.
I don't understand.
And then you got to clean the bed and her. I mean, it's the worst. Like, you couldn't just, like, puke on the kitchen floor or you get a paper towel. And now you have to, like, it's fabric.
Do you imagine having a camera in his condo and that happens at 7:30 as he's falling asleep?
Oh, no.
And then has to get up to clean it. And then he's awake.
I was eating my lunch, which made it worse.
It's like Al's Debo Samuel and Whimsy is the long snapper.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.